Jets fans, it's Dr. Emma here. I am here to review our FFA Cup clash in round of 32 against the Melbourne Valkyrie. To do that, I have two of our regular Jet streamers with me. Firstly, hello to Matt.
Hi, Emma. Hello, that, team.
That silence was a little bit too long, and I thought you were going to make me look really silly there, mate.
Sorry, I'm still the hang of being doing this again. It's been a long off season.
And you were down there at the game, weren't you, mate?
Yeah, it was freezing.
Yeah, well, it is Melbourne in the winter.
Suffice to say, even though I knew that, I still wasn't expecting it to be quite that cold.
Well, hopefully the result warmed your heart. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, to help us do that, hello, Andy.
Hello. How are we? Great to be here. Let's do this again.
Yeah, excellent. It's nice that we're going to be talking about a win. Before we get to that, let's do some of the headline news. Oh, no, wait, I've got an opening question. I'm rusty as all get out. Opening question. Boys, Andy, I'm going to go to you first. The question is, the Premier League kicks off overnight tonight in the wee hours of the morning. The first games will be played. So by the time everyone's listening to this, EPL is back in the swing of things. So, Andy, who is your EPL team? And I know that you have joined our EPL Fantasy League. What is your Fantasy League team called?
So my team that I support is Manchester United. And due to the bounce that we've had from a new manager, my fantasy team is called Ollie's at the Wheel.
I did think that is where that name had come from. Yes, well done you.
Creative, I know.
Better than mine. My team name is Timmy McTeamface. So, yeah, not much creativity there. But at least it's not Chicken Tikka Masala, which two people have chosen, and one of them's just put a space in it and the other one hasn't. So I feel like there's probably 400 Premier League fantasy teams called something along those lines right now with different variations in the spelling. Matt, what about you?
I don't really have a Premier League team, but I think this year I will probably be paying more attention to Brighton just because they've got a couple of Aussies that are playing for them. So I'll go out on a limb and say, yep, Brighton. And my team name is Champions League.
You have Chump in one of your other names, don't you? Is that a you thing?
No, I don't think I did.
Twitter handle?
Like it was. Nope.
I'll have to change your nickname in the group then, so that I'm not a liar.
Fair enough.
I like the pun.
It was more because I've got a couple of other mates that are big Liverpool supporters, and I gave them plenty of stick about not being able to win the league. And, of course, they came back and said that they won the Champions League, and that was the big one. So, hence, Champions League.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Ferns. They probably won't enjoy that.
And the rest of them, yeah.
And the rest of them. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of Liverpool supporters in Newcastle.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't really have an EPL team either because I'm from an NRL family, so I didn't really watch football when I was a young kid. And then by the time I started watching football, I didn't really think you could just pick a team for no reason. So, I'm a bit like you. I just follow the Aussies around and pay attention to wherever they are. Though it's hard not to catch the Liverpool fever with all the Liverpool boys on this pod. But anyway, yeah. Okay, well, EPL is kicking off tonight, but we've just had our A-League draw announced, which is, I know, not the same as the start of the season. But, boys, how do you feel about our draw this year? Matt?
To be honest, it's not something that I've looked at a great deal. I did notice that we've got a nice sort of run of games by the look of things in February. But otherwise, it seems to be, you know, pretty much the home and away. So, you know, at least we can't complain about the, you know, big blocks of away games versus big blocks of home games that we had last year. Unlike a lot of other Jet supporters, I actually like the Sunday games because I can get there. When it's a Saturday afternoon, it's a bit hard for me because I'm working. But all in all, not a bad result.
Andy, you agree? You happy with the draw?
Yeah, I don't know if it was. There were rumours doing the rounds that the Jets were one of the teams that were unhappy with the draw. And I think if that was true and this was the draw that was always planned. I don't see what the issue was, because it seems to be a pretty, yeah, we only have, I think, the one trip away to Wellington. We have the one trip to Perth, and then the rest, as Matt said, is pretty much home and away with decent turnarounds, and we don't have Asian Champions League or anything this year. So I think it's a great draw.
Yeah, I feel like the draw might increase my risk of skin cancer ever so slightly. But in general, I'm not terribly upset by it because, yeah, the Arvo games are easy to get to. We start with a bye, though. That's a bit, that's going to be different, getting used to byes in the men's league. But, yeah, I guess.
It's only for this year, though, isn't it? Next year they balance it out and it goes to a perfect home and away, and that's it. Like, you play each team, plays each other twice or whatnot,
and
that's
it.
See, I
was just assuming the Mariners wouldn't be a club by then, so we'd go back to odds.
See, I was
just wishing that. We always need our development teams.
I was wishing that they'd give you 3 points for the bye so that we'd be top of the table.
That would be a good strategy. Alas, no. Anywho, let's talk about a game that has actually occurred. We beat Melbourne Victory in the round of 32 for the FFA Cup, which I think was probably unexpected against the odds. Maybe not, once we talk about it. Matt, let's start with you because you were at the game. Give me a couple of sentences, overall vibes.
It was really cold. It was completely unexpected that we actually walked away with anything, but I was sort of pretty happy with the end result. And I don't know, Melbourne had a pretty good number nine. I can't remember his name, but he was pretty good.
Many Jets fans down there, mate?
50, 60. Anthony, who sometimes jumps on the podcast, he was down there. A few other sort of families. I think most of the people that were down there were probably living in Melbourne that supported the Jets. But it was still a good sort of turnout, I guess, for pre-season and, a good bit of fun.
Mm-hmm. Andy, you watched it on the live stream. What's your overall vibes for the game?
Yes, well, that was a painful experience. And thankfully, our next game is apparently the televised game, so we won't have to go through that nonsense. But overall, started slow, I felt. There was a bit of positivity going around, and then when Naboot got his first goal, things just seemed to drop a bit. But overall, after the second half, it came out and was completely different. We really dominated and a few things went our way, and I was really starting to question whether that was actually Sean Evans in the middle, because he seemed to let a lot go and, yeah, didn't seem to ref that game like a standard Sean Evans Jets game, that's for sure. So good result.
Right, someone write that down. Was that even Sean Evans in the middle? Episode title, I've got it already. Lineups, talking points. We had no Canner, we had no Boogs, we had no Moss. Canner got injured. I assume the others are injured or doing more important things. Andy, did we miss them?
I don't think we did. I liked Italiano. He used to really worry me and still does at times, but he had a pretty good game overall. Fitzgerald left a lot to be desired, and Matt Miller seemed to show the glimpses that we've seen, and now he just needs to put that together into a full performance, and we could look pretty good. The bench worried me when I first saw it, that it was pretty inexperienced, but it proved to probably be the best thing that we did. So overall, the lineup was pretty good from the Jets, I feel.
Is your assessment the same for Miller and Fitzgerald, Matt?
Yeah, I thought Fitzgerald actually looked good for maybe the first, 10 or 15 minutes, and then he just kind of disappeared out of the game. Miller, I think, is going to be a good pickup for us. Just his engine was great, but I think when in the second half, when Cam Sober was running at him, he looks a lot better going forward than what he does necessarily when he's got to sit back and defend. Let me put it that way. I think the other player that I thought had a pretty good game, other than Petratos, who I picked as man of the match, but I thought Matt Redenton actually played pretty well when he came on. He seemed to actually pick up the ball in midfield and look to play it forward, which was completely different to last season. So, yeah, not a bad effort.
I hope that's a forever change and not just a flash in the pan, because I would like to see more of that. Gus Thurgate, he started. Was that a surprise, or how did you see his run, Matt?
Yeah, not too bad. Once he's certainly no canner in the middle of defence. He plays a game, I guess, a bit more like Stevie UG. I thought first half we sort of struggled a little bit in that mid, like right in the centre of the park, not having sort of, I guess, the enforcer that Kanarowski normally is, and probably just the fact that the pitch was so wet wasn't really sort of conducive to Gus's normal game, but I don't think he played too bad.
Well, one of you had the slight dig at Victory before, saying you couldn't remember one of their players' names. That's not surprising. I don't remember half their players' name because I'd never heard of half of them before. Bunch of kids and a few regulars in the lineup. Andy, do you think they took us seriously, or do you think they just threw out the kiddie team because they thought they could roll us?
I think that's all they really have at the moment, because they've lost a lot of sort of their more experienced lineup. So, yeah, I think they clearly thought that, and we'll talk about it later when, you know, players started to leave the field and whatnot, I think they thought it was job done at 2-0 up, and that they could then sort of just play a team that could get the job done early and then roll on from there. And, yeah, I think for Victory, if Toivonen doesn't step up and start producing or whatnot, they're going to have to rely on Naboot unless they strengthen and bring people in. So it'll be interesting to see what happens between now and the start of the season from a Victory point of view.
True. I'm also going to declare I'm calling him Nabs from now on, because I've decided never to speak his name again. Matt, did you think the same? Victory don't have enough players yet. Are they going to get more players?
I think that unlike our situation, Victory probably will be able to sign a few more. I mean, I think Kurtz came out and said he was expecting 4 or 5 good more signings. And I think, you know, obviously they didn't want to risk Robbie Cruz because he's got, you know, the weakest ankle since Mark Bridge. I was actually worried, you know, for the first, 60-odd minutes, the way that we sort of played against them, and knowing the team that they had, and knowing sort of how much better they'd be come the start of the league. It wasn't sort of looking good, but then, you know, the boys dug deep and put a few away, and, yeah, it was a good way to turn it around anyway. And I would like to say that as well, I thought Lockie Jackson had an awesome game and we didn't miss Bugard at all.
Well, I wonder how that's going to evolve over the season, because I definitely said before that we don't miss Bugard when he's not there, so we'll see what happens. All right, let's talk about the game. Some of the key moments. We had the first real chance of the game, I think. Shepherd had a nice shot, but didn't quite come off. Andy, overall, Shep, good game, and disappointing that he didn't pull that off.
Disappointing that he didn't pull that one off. It was, a great ball to get and then to pretty much go so close to getting it past. I think with Shepherd, it's one of those situations where he needs quality around him to help him get through into scoring situations, and then just has to back himself that he can finish it, because a lot of the time he seems to either just put it wide or something else happens. So I think this is going to be a season for people like Shepherd, Rydenton, to really sort of show and go and say, look, we've got this season to show that what you can do, and if not, we're going to start looking at other options. So I'd like to be wrong and hope that Shepherd ends up being our Golden Boot winner, but at the moment I'm just not seeing it completely, and, yeah, that's my opinion.
Harsh but fair, I'd say. Matt, did you see the first goal? Did you see Nab score, or were you already in the beer line ready for halftime?
I didn't see him score anything. No, I did.
Just because you're in denial?
Who scored?
Fake news.
No, it was in injury time in the first half, or pretty close to.
Yeah, that's why I thought you might have been in the beer line.
No, still there. It was disappointing, but I guess it was sort of he'd been giving Katrumbus a sort of pretty hard time for most of the night. You could sort of sense that if someone was going to score, it was probably like for Melbourne, anyway, it was probably going to be him, and you know, good finish, and it'd be, you know, probably certainly someone that we could, you know, we could have really used this year, and you know, in Jets colours.
Yes, he did break our hearts. I'm still not over it. Andy, you didn't celebrate though. Classy, and do you think he's going to keep that up, or do you think that was a one-off?
Well, it wasn't a one-off because he didn't the next time either.
No, but I mean just for this first game back. Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
You have to reach a point where, you know, you've moved on and it's just another game. But when I saw the I'm not celebrating thing by putting his hands up and whatnot, it kind of looked like he went to celebrate and then was like, oh, no, I'm going to be respectful. So at that point I was just like, well, you may as well now. You've half done it. And, you know, he's a professional football player that has made a career choice or a family choice or whatever it actually is to go and play in Melbourne. So whilst he scores goals like that and both his goals were pretty good quality, and, yeah, I'd love to have him on our side wearing our shirt, but you can't really hold it against the man for going and living his life the way he wants to.
So, Matt, you did mention he scored another one and, again, didn't celebrate. For me, two goals against us from our ex-player who said he would come back. That was a bit of a twist of the night, and I thought the whole thing – a twist of the knife, sorry, and I thought the whole thing was over by then. Was that the vibe at the ground, or did you guys – were you still optimistic?
No. Look, I thought it was well and truly gone, and I think most of the people that were sort of sitting with us thought the same. You know, to be fair, like I didn't give us much hope. You know, before a ball had been kicked, I thought it was going to be a victory win. So I was happy to be proved wrong.
Let's talk about the happy. Andy, we turned it around. Johnny Kaye, tell me about it.
Yes, well, for Johnny to get the ball and then just pretty much back himself to have a shot, and it did take a deflection, sure, but I think the, you know, commentators with Teo Pelizzeri or whatever his name is needs to sort of back our players and see that they are good players, because he seems to always throw the little caveat in there that, you know, it took a deflection, and tries to just diminish what actually happened, that for it to take a deflection, you've got to be in the position to have the shot initially. So, yeah, I'd like to see the commentators this year actually giving a bit of praise where due, because it was actually a great shot.
No, excellent point. Excellent point. Overall, were you happy with Johnny's performance, Andy?
Yeah, I actually, my wife said to me today when we were driving down to Sydney and we were talking about the game, she said, oh, didn't he have cancer or something, because we were talking about how great he'd played. So she was a bit shocked that he'd gone through a medical illness and still played like that and still has that amount of energy. So it's definitely a positive thing for this season. I think if he can retain his spot and Ernie sticks with him for a continual period, he may just sort out the left back issue for us.
Hope so. Now, Matt, I'm going to give you the joy of telling everyone about the Dimmy goal.
Oh, absolute cracker. I've always said that he should shoot with his left foot more often, because he seems to actually get it on target. But it was a nice little bit of lead up play, and you know, it was something that at the ground we'd sort of seen quite a few times by that stage, that we were able to sort of start working the ball forward sort of through midfield and getting it to the edge of the box. And, yeah, nice little turn and stuck it away. Good effort.
And he had a good night overall, you reckon?
Yeah, I actually had him for man of the match. I thought everything positive that we did seemed to be channeled through him. So, yeah.
Yep. Let's go to man of the match while you're mentioning it. Andy, do you agree with Dimmy as the man of the match?
He wasn't my choice, but I definitely agree that He looks solid. He looks strong. And to be a player of, you know, that copped so much, but now is clearly showing he can do it. I think losing Ronnie may actually end up being one of the best things that we've seen from him.
Mm, it might work for Dimmy. Yeah. Who was your man of the match then, mate?
I picked Arroyo. I just feel that he is a player that is going to deliver a lot to us in if he can either start getting goals himself or at least just being in the position to provide opportunities like he did with the cutback to Hoffi, then if those go in, we're in a much better position.
Mm. Well, I think that is a lovely, optimistic man of the match. And I will say 8% of the punters who voted on our SurveyMonkey agreed with you. But 38% of people who voted agreed with Matt and went for Dimmy. So he was the official voted man of the match for our SurveyMonkey, as official as we are. And Stevie UG was up there with 32%. Is that just because Novocastrians just will never stop loving Stevie UG, or do you guys also reckon he had a good game? Sorry,
I thought he played one of his best.
Sorry, Matt.
So, I thought he played one of his best games in quite a while. Yeah, it certainly didn't look like he was coming. You know, it was start of preseason. He was everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, we will be doing those SurveyMonkeys, I think, after each game instead of. We used to do votes on the forum, but not everyone is on the forum. So keep an eye out on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll be sharing the link so that everyone can vote and reading those results out after each game in the main season and as far as we make it through the FFA Cup. So, yeah, participate because, you know, it's fun to do that kind of thing. So that was actually a good segue there, boys. You mentioned Arroyo. Andy. So he did come on as a sub. And as you said, by all accounts, he looked promising. You mentioned, I think, Andy already, the chance he had with Hoff, correct?
Yeah, so he got the ball and just kind of charged forward from what I can remember. And he's very, like, he's a big guy. It seems that they were, like, they Melbourne Victory would push into him and he would just kind of stumble a little bit but stay on his feet and just charge forward. And he was able to get it down the line and cut back to Hoff, who I don't think was, from memory, prepared for that to actually come off in the way that it did, because you normally don't see that kind of service at the Jets. So I think it took him a bit by surprise and he had to sort of decide what to do with it quickly and didn't quite get there. So. But, yeah, definitely promising to have a player that is tall, built, and fast, something we haven't seen for a while.
Mm. Hoff might not be used to that quality. So maybe that is very promising. Matt, do you agree?
Yeah, I thought he made it. Yeah, he had a really good impact when he came on. It was just good to see how direct he was and physical and Naboot-like, I guess you could say.
Nabs-like, we don't say that anymore.
Okay, Nabs-like.
I'm bitter, very bitter.
You like him enough to shorten his name?
Yeah. I don't think all nicknames are good nicknames. Anywho, what about starting off the bench? That was to be expected, obviously, for Arroyo, yeah, Andy?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how much football he had before he came over. I think from memory he was playing somewhere in Panama or something like that. So obviously to come and, yeah, play on a fairly from all reports from our resident reporter, Matt, that it was cold and windy and miserable to be able to come off the bench and still put a performance like that together is pretty promising, and maybe he becomes that player that can come on and just run at them in the last half hour or so of every match. It wouldn't be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Matt, regular host Dave did mention in his notes that he thought we saw in this game what we were missing from Hoffi when we didn't have him last season with his at the end of last season with his ankle injury. Do you think we're going to see Hoffey remaining in that attacking role as the season progresses, or do you think we're going to see him back as the kind of floating utility?
Look, I think that he certainly didn't do himself any harm if he does want to sort of keep playing up front. I don't like, as well as I thought, Katrumba's played, I still don't think he's comfortable sort of in the left back role. So it might be something that you know, Hoffey sort of gets thrust into at some point during the season. I guess the other question is, you know, if Hoffman doesn't play there, who does? I don't think we've got sort of too many better options.
Good point. I'm going to come back to a thought there, just writing that down. Sorry, I'm so out of practice at this. Sorry, boys. So did anyone think this game was going to go to extra time?
Yes.
You did?
I thought that it would the second Lawrence Thomas came off. I thought they are now going to bring on someone that you don't hear much of, Matt Acton. He's going to be coming into the game when they're already ahead. And that to me just seemed like a real, not necessarily arrogance, because Thomas did go down and then got back up and then about 5 or 10 minutes later went down again. I'm not sure exactly what he did, but he was sort of rubbing the back of his knee and like his lower hamstring. For him to go off, even though he stayed on in the grand final after a much worse incident, but that's fine, I think was the turning point that all of a sudden it was, you know, we could finally get past someone, because Lawrence Thomas is someone the Jets failed to get past on many occasions. So, yeah, I was much more confident once he actually went off. And then when they took Naboot off as well, I straight away thought, well, here we go. It's going to be the 2-0 worst scoreline where there always is some form of comeback from there. So I was very positive that extra time would be needed.
Well, stuck at victory. I'm glad someone had the optimism, because I thought at this point I was probably thinking, well, it's just going to hurt more now. I thought, you know, going down 2-0, that's what we all expected maybe. But I thought if we went down 2-3, that would be the heartbreak. But that's not what happened. We went to extra time. Matt, you had to sit in the cold even longer, you poor thing. But luckily it was all worth it.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
Tell us about extra time, Matt.
That was crazy, wasn't it? We came out and we certainly seemed to have a lot more energy than what they did. And, from memory, there was another good chance that Arroyo had during that extra time period. But for young bloke Langlar to sort of score the winner with what was a really nice little turn as well, I couldn't be happier for him.
Nice little turn is so the word. Andy, do you have any feels about this goal?
No, I think he's a player that if we don't heap too much on and put too much expectation, he seems to have that little spurts in his arsenal and can be able to actually implement them at the right time. And if he can free up space from someone like a Dimmy that can maybe get a shot away as well, then why not bring him on and, again, just have him run around like crazy for the last 15, 20 minutes? Seems to work.
Interesting that you mentioned the expectations, because, yes, I'm probably one of those people who's gone, great, when are we going to use him again in the season? So maybe we do need to temper that enthusiasm and manage his, progress in the team.
Yeah, well, that seems to be what Ernie likes to do. He doesn't want to just throw them in and sort of sink or swim deal. He'll actually bring them in and get them around the team and then see what can be done overall. So I think Ernie is a good coach for that. And if Laurie is still working with the youth team and stuff more, then hopefully it'll just be all through those levels for these fringe players like Pat and Jack Simmons and even Gus to an extent still. So positive times.
I guess it is. We have had, I think, probably some lack of depth problems over the last couple of years. But when we do invent time machine football, I think all these youth players that we're kind of nursing into the main squad will eventually pay off for us. So I think if we stick this out, it's all going to pay off in the end. Yeah, and that was right before the end of extra time. Were you very glad you didn't have to go to penalties, Matt?
Oh, absolutely. It was nerve-wracking enough and cold enough sort of sitting there for the 120-odd minutes without sort of going to penalties, and I'm sure they would have had penalties up the other end, so we'd had to move. And, yeah, it was a perfect way to finish it. Like, we were copping so much stick from the victory supporters that all of a sudden it went quiet, and it was great.
Mm. Were there many of them there? I did ask you how many Jets fans were there, but looking at it on the footage, it didn't look like there were many victory fans there either.
Both ends. So both ends of the park sort of had a bit of active support going. I think everyone's sort of seen the crowd figures, which were 4,400. And I'd say, you know, there might have been 100 Jets fans there if we were lucky. So probably 4,300, give or take.
Mm, yeah, if I had thought about doing maths, I could have figured that out without asking the question. Excellent point, mate. Excellent point. Has a PhD.
And 100 of those were seagulls.
No seagulls got hit? Too cold for the seagulls, wouldn't have been.
No, they were everywhere. I'm sure there were 4,400 paying, you know, 4,400 paying guests, but yeah, quite a lot of seagulls.
I thought you were going to say paying seagulls. Right. Well, that was the end of the game. Now we go on into the round of 16, which is only our second time for the FFA Cup making it into the round of 16, and I cannot decide whether this is a blessing or a curse because we're going to be playing Edgeworth. How do we feel about that, boys? Andy?
When they were doing the draw, I stayed up for the draw, which was just after it ended up being after the Perth-Western Sydney game, which dragged on a bit. But to get it down to, I think it was the last two balls or something to pick from, and you knew it was going to be us, that, yeah, I think is probably one of the best things, because to go so close in that friendly we played against Edgeworth, and now to be able to strengthen the squad and go and play it again, and hopefully can get it over them, and it'll just be great to see an actual televised game and the investment that Edgy are already putting into it.
Televised game, mate, is great. Not going to get down there? Not going to get out to Edgy?
I didn't say I wasn't. I just said it's great that it's being televised.
Ah, I see. You're putting words in your mouth. Yes. Yeah, Matt, are you going to get out there for the game?
I'm going to do everything, give myself best possible chance anyway. I think it's a Wednesday night, so it will mean that. Yeah, so it will mean that I'll be, you know, having to finish work a bit early, but I will certainly do my best.
Wednesday the 20-somethingth. I made these notes before the date was announced. Does anyone know? Someone Google quickly.
No, sorry.
Definitely a Wednesday, somewhere between the 21st and the 28th. I know how days and maths work. We can figure this out. But yeah,
21st.
So that'll be nice. And at the end of the day, if we get taken by Edgeworth, it's not the worst, is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, we still lose to non-A league opposition. That would be horrible. Yeah, at least every time we've been. The beauty of the cup for us has just been getting knocked out first game. So we've already exceeded expectation. But we can't lose to Edgeworth.
Well, it is the first time we've progressed to the round of 16 by beating an A league team. So. That is nice. And it'll be fun. I think it's going to be a good crowd out there on whatever date it is that I didn't write down. Google it. Google it, everyone at home.
It's the 21st of August.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I heard they're putting up new lights so that they can see the ground and the TVs can see it and everything, and that's all very exciting. I missed some headline news at the beginning. Boys, you know what the headline news is. We have a new player. Andy, how do we feel?
Oh, we do.
How do we feel?
I am very happy. I was so mentioned earlier in the opening question that I am a Manchester United fan, and this transfer window for Manchester United has not been great there's been talk of all sorts of things and then they don't eventuate. And I was worried that with the Jets, we were going to have our own little Lukaku Dybala situation where we would be bringing in this Irish Messi and this great player and all this, and then would end up just settling for Fitzgerald and Miller or something like that. But to actually pull it off and have a player that's been playing in the championship and scoring goals, even at a fairly late age for an outfield player, I think it'll be a great player to add to our roster.
Yeah, I saw the Irish Messi thing. We haven't said his actual name yet, Wes Houlihan. I don't know how many people actually call him the Irish Messi, but, you know, that's kind of cool. He is a bit old, or older. I can't talk. Similar Seasoned. Age to me, but I'm not an elite sports person. Matt, are you excited to have another Houl back in the team?
Oh, you can't call him that. Call him just. I'd rather call him Irish Messi than another Houl. Yeah, and I guess that sort of answers one of the questions that was put forward from earlier as well, because I'd completely forgotten about this signing. So, you know, yeah, maybe that is another sort of option sitting in the middle of the park with Dimi possibly playing wide that Hoffman can go back. So, yes, I think it's a good signing, and I think it's certainly a signing that we needed. So, yeah.
I hadn't forgotten about the signing because I had watched his nice little highlights reel right before we started recording, but I did just forget that it was on my run sheet that needed editing because the run sheet was written before the signing was officially announced. Nice little video the Jets put together as well for the announcement, which I think is sweet. So we're expecting big things, Matt? Big things?
Look, I don't want to hope too much. Let's hope that he makes it in impact, and then if it's anything better than that, then yeah, fantastic. But yeah, I'm
certainly previous Irish.
Yes. Who was our previous Irish?
Who was our previous Irish? Actually, I like that as a burn. I enjoy that as a burn. Excellent burn. We'll leave that there and move on. Right, that's the end of my run sheet. I'm very out of practice. Boys, have I missed anything? Have we signed any other players in the 40 minutes we've been talking?
No, but the Wes thing was interesting, that it went from Jimmy Gardner, sort of, unless I missed a story, it went from, oh, the Jets are talking to this guy, to, oh, here's a video of him in the changing room at the stadium and everything else. So he must have been here for a while, otherwise our new media guy works really quickly. So it was interesting that he's gone from initial talks being had to filming a video at the stadium in a few days. But if that's what we can do, I was expecting a lot less when they came out saying that there was no money and we were going to pretty much just run the cream of the youth team out. It makes the season a lot more positive, that's for sure.
I actually thought the same thing in that video. You don't see his face for quite a while. And I was like, have they got Kane Shepherd pretending that he's Houlihan? Is that what this video is? And then I was looking very carefully at the video. I'm like, is he actually here or is he in a different stadium and they've just made it look like our stadium? But then I decided we probably don't have the money for that kind of production trick. So, yeah, he probably is here. And that's cool. Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts? I can talk words. Any final thoughts, Matt?
No, sorry, guys. Like, I'm feeling, let's say, a little bit tired from all the travel and whatnot over the last couple of days. Thanks, Jetstar, for cancelling our flights. So, yeah, all I can say is, you know, let's hope that the good times continue from the FFA Cup, and maybe this season won't be, you know, as bad as what everyone was initially predicting.
At least we don't have to take Jetstar out to Edgeworth.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
That's going to be an easy drive.
I have a question, though. Do we look at it as, would we prefer to finish in the Forever Seventh and go on a decent cup run, or is the league still the most important thing?
Part of me wants to say, boy, I ask the questions here. But the other part of me wants to just say, I'll take anything. We can win games. That's nice. I don't care which games they are. Do you agree, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as much as I'd still rather see us up the pointy end of the table at the end of it, Perhaps with budget constraints and whatnot, that might not be possible. So let's throw everything into the cup.
Yeah, beggars choosers. I'll take a win of any sorts. But beating Victory feels nice, right? Like anytime we beat Victory,
100%.
From grand final forever after is going to feel nice, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, well, I guess that all that remains to say is that the Jetstream is a media empire, even if we are just warming back up for the new season. So please do follow us on all the social medias. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We'll have the polls out there for Man of the Match after each game. By the time you listen to this, the EPL will have started, but I assume you can join late and you'll still probably be doing better than me at Fantasy League. So get on the socials and get the code and you can join our private league. There's about 27 people in there when I looked before we started recording, and I'm not the only girl this year. I'm super excited about that. Unless that bitch is better than me, then she can get out. So all that remains to say now is go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
I thought for a second you were both going to leave me hanging. Oh, I didn't say thanks, boys. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Em.
Thank you. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.